I'm all ears.
Listen.
Oh my God.
Listen.
Oh my God.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
I don't believe this.
Hey, it's Sharon here from the Cliff and Sharon Radio Show, and welcome to this week's podcast.
Yep, from music to entertainment to wacky news, it's all real, it's all live, and we love sharing it with you.
Number five.
I don't know about you when you were young, but when I was, you know, between 10 and 14, at 10, I was sitting under the sink playing with the pots and pans. At 14... you know, running around the street playing hide-and-seek with my friends, playing with Hot Wheels. I mean, I wasn't thinking about services or products or technology that could potentially change the world. This 14-year-old kid in California, already 14, already has his own business that's backed by a multi-billionaire.
Yeah, this is wild. The kid's name is Jack McKenna. Came up with this pretty delicious candy recipe. It's a pretzel covered with toffee, chocolate, caramel, and sea salt. And it's unique because it doesn't contain any dyes or preservatives. And he created it that way because he's got a younger brother whose special diet won't let him eat any artificial additives. And he wanted his young brother to be able to eat it. So we made this. It took about 50 batches before we got the recipe just right. And then he put flyers around the neighborhood and set up stands on street corners. And pretty soon, people weren't buying the stuff because he was a kid. They were buying it because he put crack cocaine in it. And it was just highly addictive. No, I made that bit up. No, they bought it because they just loved it. They just loved it. And the candy became so popular that he was able to produce and sell the stuff to Sam's Club stores. And he got some financial backing from a very rich investor. And now he donates some of the profits to charity and puts the rest of the profits in the bank.
Absolutely fantastic. This is a kid I want to see on Shark Tank because he'd have all four sharks, you know, back the kid up, drive this thing to the finish line. And at 14, I'm a little jealous.
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean, he's set up his entire life and is going to do so well because of this. Fantastic.
Listen
to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
Number four.
Okay, it's New Year's. Maybe you're single, but you meet somebody special, and there's some kind of magic spark. Something happens at midnight, and then all of a sudden, you get separated. It's like the movie Serendipity. What happens? How do you find that person, right?
Well, you go to Craigslist, missed connections.
Sure you do.
That's
exactly the first place I would go, is to Craigslist, missed connections, try and find the person. I wasn't bright enough in the moment to say, hey, can you give me your name and number? Because we just had a thing.
Yeah, I know. It's just, if you've never been to Craigslist, missed connections, when you've got like a spare 10 minutes, go over there, be prepared to be appalled at some of the stuff in there. But it's a section where people can post messages looking for strangers they saw or briefly met but didn't exchange names or contact information with, and gosh, we hope it works for this woman. A woman in Bloomington, Indiana, has posted a Craigslist missed connection trying to track down the guy she kissed on New Year's Eve.
Nice so far.
Yeah, really nice. This is what she wrote. You, 5'8", scruffy, glasses, you lit my cigarette and we talked about our wishes for the new year. We heard the countdown starting, I started to cry and you kissed me and then we started to make out. So, you know, sounds like just a fabulous New Year's Eve moment, doesn't it?
Sure.
But then, this is what happened next. This is what she wrote. After a minute, I felt something warm and realized that you'd peed yourself. I pushed you away. So presumably he peed on her as well. The guy took off running and didn't come back. But now the woman regrets how he reacted. And the thing on Craigslist goes on to say, you peed on me, but it's okay. It's okay. I just want to know who you are. Please reply. And when you do, tell me why I started crying so that I know it's you. Here's why I think she started crying. I think she started crying because she's the kind of girl that likes to be peed on. And she just had that epiphany in that moment.
People, we just got to raise the bar a little bit. That's all I'm saying. You know, this is exactly how Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall met.
You might be right. So it went like this. You know you don't have to act with me, Steve. You don't have to say anything and you don't have to do anything, not a thing. Or maybe just whiz. You know how to whiz, don't you, Steve? You just put your lips together and go.
I don't think that's the way it went.
Listen to this with Cliff and Sharon.
Now, pay close attention.
Number three.
I'm looking at the first line of the story we want to share with you, and I'm thinking, Cliff, do you really want to open this can of worms with Sharon? Do you really want to just lay this out here? Because, you know, we have lots of people working at the radio station. We like them. We enjoy our FCC license. But, you know, what the heck? What the heck? Police in Wisconsin moved a beaver to a new home after the animal caused a brief traffic stoppage.
Well, you know, a good beaver can stop traffic anywhere.
And there you have it. The Village of Caledonia Police Department posted photos on its Facebook page showing this beaver causing the traffic problem, wandering onto a local road. And the officer there, I guess Andrew Geldin is his name, told the local newspaper that it was the last thing he thought he'd see, even though he'd been trained in handling animals. But get this, he lured the beaver into his automobile and then drove the beaver to the local pond.
Well, did he lure him with donuts? You have to wonder, right? You have to wonder.
Know.
He's a police officer. He's got to lure the beaver with something. You've got to think it's donuts. And meanwhile, the beaver was thinking the whole time, damn. I know, that was bad.
It's so bad.
Listen to this with Cliff and Sharon. For more, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Number two.
So how many different types of bottled water are there? And let me tell you something. I've been drinking smart water for about a month, and it's not working.
You're not any smarter?
Not really.
You don't feel your brain cells, your gray matter improving, increasing? You're not swifter, faster, stronger? None of that?
Not even one little synapse.
I think you've been had.
Yeah.
I think they saw you coming. But it begs the question, like, it seems like every day there is a new water out that claims that it's healthier for you, it's better, you know, after working out, it's going to get you hydrated quicker or all of those sorts of things. And the price difference between all these bottled waters too, you've got to ask yourself, is it worth it? What's the point? And so we just thought we might ask Siri this, right?
Siri, what's the difference between bottled and tap water?
The main difference between fancy bottled and tap water is the attitude that people who buy fancy bottled water have while they drink their overpriced water, assuming it is superior to tap water, but really having no idea if that is true. They are so judgmental. They are the first people to get all high and mighty about how it's worth it to pay more for extra oxygenated water when in reality, they don't even know what that means. Hey, you pretentious losers. If you add extra oxygen to water, it becomes hydrogen peroxide, and that isn't water at all, so you are being scammed. Sure, tap water sometimes tastes a little weird depending on where you are in the country, but you know one thing that it always is?
What?
It's free, and I will take that over phony expensive bottled water every day.
Thank you. I'm with Siri on that. And it's better for the environment too.
Yeah, yeah, because smart water's not working on me.
Listen to this with Cliff and Sharon, improving your water cooler chat.
Number one.
I don't know if you've seen Star Wars yet. By the way, fantastic.
Oh,
and huge
gosh.
Spoiler, I don't want to give it away, but there's a tragic thing that happens here for all Star Wars fans.
Oh.
Yeah. And you know what, Sharon, for 2016, I'm going to drag you to a theater.
Oh, God.
To watch a relevant pop culture movie.
Hey.
Maybe Star Wars.
Well, I need to see the other ones first, don't I? I can't just go and see this one.
Oh, I've got my work cut out for me. Well,
you
get this.
Do.
Darth Vader is a tattooed 43-year-old former Marine who owns a gym and is raising funds online for a bone marrow transplant. Get that.
Is that the noise he makes? Or
that's pretty good. That's actually pretty good. So this New York guy actually legally changed his name last year to match Darth Vader's in the Star Wars films.
Was that better?
You had garlic last night, didn't you?
Sorry about that.
So Eric Welch, he grew up in a foster home. He didn't have any strong family ties to his name. So he thought, you know what, I'm going to change my name to Darth Vader because that character carries with it this aura of leadership and toughness, and that's what he wanted to represent.
But Darth Vader's the bad guy, right?
Well, technically, yeah. That's true. He is, yes. But he is a mythical character. I don't know. You know, he could have... Well, why not Anakin Skywalker? Why Darth Vader? I don't know.
Maybe he couldn't spell that. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
That's true.
But anyway, he is a pretty tough guy. And in fact, he tests his own toughness by competing in half marathons and endurance events. And then he was diagnosed with leukemia in 2002. And so now Darth Vader is literally raising funds online for a bone marrow transplant. So I hope he wish him every success. I mean, we joke about his name and everything. And
good luck.
Oh, garlic and onions.
Oh, God. Sorry.
Listen to this. With Cliff and Sharon. Subscribe to the podcast on Audioboom, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Pocket Cast, and iTunes. This has been a Bytes.com production.